I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Alicia, keep the music up. Do not turn that music off just yet. What is it with you guys and the hair trigger lately? If it's not you, it's Shep. I love Shep too. But we are honoring, when we play the Open, we honor the greatness that is the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, the 16-time World's Heavyweight Champion. The NWA is back, by the way, for all you wrestling fans out there. I don't know if you knew this. Billy Corgan saved the NWA. Think about it for a second, folks. It is back. Time for the territories to make their way back in time to set sail in week 7. Now, I want to bring up something with Mike Vrabel here in a second, but we started off with, you got to lower it now there. We started off with what's going on in Cleveland. Earlier tonight, right before the show started, Daryl Ryder, Browns beat reporter, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com in Cleveland, my home station, started tweeting things out saying, hey, I'm getting DMs from people over here saying that it could be curtains for Hugh Jackson. We went, oh, okay. So we brought Daryl on. Browns lost today in overtime to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 26-23. They're now 1-1, 1-2-1 in overtime this year. Yeah, one win, two losses, one tie. Those ties, man, they screw up your rods and cones. But in another loss, this time in overtime, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, all of a sudden Jimmy Haslam and John Dorsey, not too thrilled, according to what Daryl said. Hit it.
The owner of the team, Jimmy Haslam, and general manager, John Dorsey, they're not really thrilled right now that the Cleveland Browns not only lost this afternoon in Tampa Bay in overtime, squandering yet another opportunity to win, but that the fact that the team sits at 2-4-1 at this juncture of the season. John Dorsey believes that he put together a team that was ready to win and win immediately, and the Browns have not done that. And then obviously Hugh Jackson's post-game comments concerning his expertise when it comes to offense, being ready to dip in to Todd Haley's territory, I'm sure that also didn't resonate well within the organization.
There's a timeline for it. I asked him when it could possibly go down. This is what Daryl had to say.
What I was told is that this all happened in Tampa, that the displeasure was expressed in Tampa before they even got on the plane. So, you know, I've seen this movie enough to know that this is, you know, if the rumbling are beginning already, it doesn't necessarily mean the action is immediate, but you're already having frustrations being expressed internally about the outcome of these games and the job being done on the sideline. That tells me that, Hugh Jackson should not be feeling too good about job security beyond this season.
So things are going to hell in a handbasket. And your first and foremost fear is going to be Baker Mayfield if you're a Cleveland Browns fan. If things go to hell in a handbasket, your foremost fear is, because you've dealt with bad quarterbacking before, you've dealt with the backup's backup coming in, you've dealt with hella trash as a Browns fan looking at the quarterback position. Baker Mayfield has something. Now, every now and then it goes away, but he seems to have something. The same thing with a lot of rookies this year. Sam Darnold was absolute garbage earlier today for the Jets. Everybody, and all rookies are going to have their garbage games. Don't get all hot, Jets fans. Relax. But when you have a situation that played out where you have a head coach, and we'll hear more of this in Sounding Off. I know Hickey's got the clip where the head coach is after the game talking about how he's going to get involved in play calling duties again, which is 7 games after he's relinquished those play calling duties to start off this year, you know things aren't going that well. And you wonder what side the general manager is going to be on here. If it's the guy he brought in for a hellified salary to possibly bring him in as an interim head coach if things go to hell, that's always been the strong thinking in Cleveland. Or if it's going to be on the side of Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley can go away. Either way, you know this. If your neighbors are fighting, mom and dad are fighting, you're instantly worried about the children. And if mom and dad are fighting in the NFL, you're instantly worried about the young quarterback. And so if you're a Browns fan, it's not about Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. If it doesn't happen this week, it's going to happen at some point at the end. This is untenable. This is absolutely untenable. It is uncharted territory of how poor it's been for the last 2 years in seven games. And the excuses have run up over your eyeballs. But if it's not Hugh Jackson in 2019, it probably won't be Todd Haley. So the decision becomes, sooner or later, you're going to have to make that decision. And more than likely, for a lot of fans, it's to be sooner because, one, you get your bloodlust. Two, you could start that process early. And if Baker Mayfield shows something there, you're one of the jobs that guys would want. But I'll tell you what, if it doesn't happen this week, you got Pittsburgh coming up on the road. They look like they're back on track. And in 2 weeks, Kansas City comes to Cleveland, and, well, there could be more of this.
Snap back to Mahomes. Twist by the Bengals. Mahomes throwing near side, wide open. Touchdown! Kansas City on the near side of the field. Demetrius Harris and Patrick Mahomes on fire. His third touchdown of the night.
They are a terrifying football team. Audio courtesy of the Chiefs Radio Network. That is an absolutely terrifying football team. I got a quarterback who's throwing with both hands. The Bengals are a good football team. At least they're decent. They have some talent. 45-10, that's a dismantling. Chiefs come into that football game angry with the way they lost. They had to come from behind. Nearly victory that was taken out of their own hands. The Patriots are the Patriots. And so they decide to set the record straight at home on Sunday Night Football in front of God and everybody against the Cincinnati team that cannot get away from the fear of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you thought that Cincinnati would give them some sort of a run. And you think about this, 2 weeks from now, if it's not that way, it could be a mercy killing by Andy Reid. Home game, if you lose another one this time to Pittsburgh, that's 2-5-1. The cart is already out of the barn and rolling down the hill, and then you have Kansas City coming to town. Good luck. That's why I'm telling folks, and I'll say it in the morning in Cleveland, it's a formality at this point. If there's already a serious discussion about it, a really, truly, really true serious discussion. Because before with people on the outside, 1-31, how could you not have that discussion? It might have been talked about, but the ownership was steadfast. If it's a true discussion now, it's curtains. It's just a formality of win. And when you were making this decision, you bring in John Dorsey, there's a lot of goodwill. They bring in Baker Mayfield with their number one overall pick. A little bit of a gamble, but a lot of goodwill. They like how much of a competitor he is. They like how fiery he is. He is an accurate quarterback. He is a guy who seems to be able to lead them into the future as of right now. So you brought in a lot of goodwill. But when you have the infighting of what's going on, when you have young guys fighting in the locker room, that happens every now and then. When you have coaches going after each other on a team that has no experience, good luck. And that's what they have going on with each other. And if they would have made that decision over this last year, just think about how much different it is. For all you teams out there, all you fan bases out there that have new head coaches this year, and yes, some of you, I'm sure that a little bit of you are upset with what's going on in Indianapolis with Frank Reich at 2-5, and I'm sure that not everybody's thrilled with Matt Nagy over in Chicago, even though the Bears are a better football team than they've been, and they're 3-3, they're just in a tough division, and they played very tough today against New England. I know that there were some tough decisions by Matt Nagy in the second quarter. I got it. But how much easier is it to stomach 3-3 or 2-5 or 2-4-1 with the way the Browns are if it were Matt Nagy or Frank Reich as the head coach? Hey, these things happen. You're coming off a 1-31 over the last 2 years. But because of this, it takes away from your fan base. And if you want to get that going in 2 weeks at home where all those fans were going nuts on that Thursday night against the Jets, good luck. 855-212-4CBS. Another thing that, and I don't want to get caught up. Hickey, you're going to have to call me out on this, all right? I want to make sure.
All right.
And I want Alicia to call me out on it, or Ike, or whoever. I want to make sure. And if you're in Nashville, if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, I want to hear from you tonight. Because at first I wanted to go on this great big rant, and I wanted to make sure that I'm not having fake outrage. I just want to make damn clear it's not going to be fake outrage. Because I said this about Nick Bosa over this week. There were many sports radio talk show hosts who were out there saying, I can't believe these people are saying how bad a guy Nick Bosa is. What if you were in his shoes? What if you were the one who had the millions of dollars on the line? What would you do? And the whole time, you had to be sitting there going, who is saying that this is a bad decision? The fake outrage over the fake outrage over the fake outrage in Nick Bosa had to drive you nuts. But we were doing those segments for us. I got something to say about Nick Bosa, and I need to find a straw man to say it about. Nobody was going after Nick Bosa. A couple of people, maybe. There's always going to be the silent but trying to be loud minority there who might have something to say. I know that there was a Rivals.com guy, but of any major outlet, and I include Rivals in that too, one guy out of how many against Nick Bosa in that decision? He's being selfish. Yeah. And so I couldn't believe that there were so many people who were willing, in our position, who were willing to say that people were upset with Nick Bosa. You're not upset with Nick Bosa. And I want to make sure, because I knew that I'm not working myself into it right now when I think, you wanted Mike Vrabel, you want a coach that has stones. At the end of regulation, when it's 20-19, he makes a call that takes stones. Now, you may not be overwhelmed with the play call. Slant in the end zone, whatever it might be, it's not an easy play call. You're down there in the two-point conversion zone, and the two-point conversions are difficult for a reason. You could always kick the field goal. You could always go to overtime. But constantly, every single Sunday, Ken, we need a coach that's not afraid to lose. We need a coach that's coaching to win and not to lose. That's what Mike Vrabel was doing. And I didn't see a whole bunch of people. So I don't want to go off on a ledge and say, well, I can't believe Titans fans are yelling at Mike Vrabel for it. So I'll let you guys be the decider. 855-212-4CBS. I'll let America be the decider tonight. Can I go after Mike Vrabel for going for it in that situation, for going for the win? I don't think I'd have done it. I'd have kicked the field goal. I'm conservative when it comes to that. I wouldn't have done that. A huge set, just like what Peter, I think, just said right there. A size, the grapefruit's big enough he could sit on him. And I would have sat there and kicked the field goal. I would have gone for the extra point. I'd have played for overtime. I'd have taken the path of least resistance, yes, because I think that 99% of coaches in that situation probably do the same thing. Regular season, you go ahead, you do it. We'll see in overtime, because all these coaches, the quote, when you're coaching not to lose, they're all coaching not to lose. That's why they do take the path of least resistance. That's why they do punt at the 40-yard line. They're all coaching not to lose, trying to manage risk the entire game through. And here's Mike Vrabel, like your buddy playing you in Madden, picking up the sticks, going for the win. Tom Osborne, national championship style, going for the win. In the middle of the season, in London, on the road, 3-3 football team, trying to show that he's got the stones. And you can argue with the play call. And you can argue with what exactly was put forward. I got it. But the decision to go for it, isn't that what you want? So I'll let you decide. 855-212-4CBS. And I'll go to everybody here on the line, and we'll get their opinion as well. I just want to make sure I'm not fighting some straw man. We all agree, if you want to coach with stones and he makes a stones move, you can't hate him for it, right? We'll get to you next. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Guess how many hockey games I watched this week? Zero. Sure, Peter's very proud of me. 855-212-4CBS. Let's get to the NFL. I just want to make sure I'm right. I don't want to battle any straw men. Also, I think it's time to do what's right by everyone and trade Eli Manning to Jacksonville. That coming up after signing off at 12:35, 12:40 a.m. Eastern. Daniel in Maine, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Ken?
Hi, Daniel. Go ahead, buddy.
So, lifelong Titans fan here, and I love Mike Vrabel. I think his decisions in overtime in the Eagles game were fantastic. I thought going for the win here in London today was also absolutely the right decision. I also love what Matt LaFleur has been doing pretty much the entire season. There have been a few play calls that have left my head scratching. As you said, the only issue I had with that entire series of events was the play call. Now, I understand running a slant in the back of the end zone, not a low percentage play, but why Taywan Taylor, who had one target before that, and he caught it for 8 yards? Why not Deion Lewis, who had been reliably finding gaps in the defense and making people miss?
Did you want to throw it to Deion, or did you want to run it with Deion?
Now, here's the thing. I think there were two options that had a way higher percentage chance of actually winning the game. I think some sort of read option with Mariota, who always is a danger to defenses with his legs, with Deion Lewis in the backfield to respect the pass, because Deion can catch the ball out of the backfield pretty much better than any back in the league, barring James White.
Mm-hmm.
So I think either a swing pass out to Deion Lewis or a read option with Mariota and Deion Lewis making the right read there probably would have won us the game.
Man, I don't know. You see, that's the problem I have, Daniel. If that works with Taylor, I mean, maybe Tajay Sharpe, if you really want to do it. I knew he was having a good game. I know sometimes he's been up and down. But I don't know. If you think that much about it, yeah, there's a million different things that will work. You can only go with one, and if that one doesn't work, then people are always going to second-guess it. I think it just comes down to the decision of, all right, you're 3 yards out. It's tough for a reason. Do you go for it, or do you not go for it, and do you just kick the field goal and go to overtime? Because it's easier to score from the 10 than it is from the 3.
I agree.
You know that. You got more room.
Absolutely. But we also had a lot of success in the short yardage situations, even with Derrick Henry. I think keeping the ball on the ground, because we had three people who were effectively moving the ball without putting the ball in the air, we had 164 yards on the ground on the day. Obviously Mariota, not 100% still, not going to make excuses for him there. He was throwing the ball well. But I think given the maulers we have at tackle, I think we had a much better chance keeping the ball on the ground. But
I think, Daniel, I'll say this. Go ahead, finish up.
Yep, all I have to say is I will stand by Vrabel in this decision. I don't think he needs to take any flack for having stones the size of, I don't know, Jupiter, I guess.
Daniel, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, I'm just wondering if you can actually go for the guy going for the gusto there. As far as the play call, you run the football. When you're down in the red zone, everything is right in front of you. There's no room for any sort of antics whatsoever. Now, you want to go ahead and go straight. I got that. If you had time, you could do that. But when it's an end-all, be-all like that, I'd still rather, and I hate fades, I'd still rather try to put the ball in the air. If everything's right in front of you, it's going to come down to execution. Those could be the three hardest yards you're ever going to get right down in there. Two-point conversions are difficult for a reason, and it's right because of that. Derrick Henry would be a bigger back, would be an option. Deion Lewis, I don't know if that's the guy I'm looking for 3 yards out of, 2.5 yards out of. I don't know if that's the guy. If you're going to keep the ball on the ground, Mariota's a possibility. You could get him decked. I don't think you're coaching an injury at that moment there. If that's the case, why even have him out there? You're trying to win the football game. I still think putting the ball in the air was probably the better move. Jeff in Cleveland. Jeff, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
Hello, Ken. So earlier today, when I saw this Tennessee play, I gifted, the Charles Barkley. That was a terrible call. But then I started thinking, after I saw kickers today blow it for me, like my Cowboys kicker, and then Justin Tucker missing an extra point, why not go for it? I like a guy who at first I was thinking it was a bad play, Ken, because I was like, Tennessee still has a shot to be good this year. And when you're a team that doesn't have a shot to maybe be good and you're just trying to build confidence, then you do something like that. But then Why not? But I would have done a read option with Mariota. Mariota is good with his legs. I think he's a better runner than he is a passer. So do a read option with Derrick Henry, though. I agree with you, maybe a bigger back down low, down there. But why not go for it? You know,
if it doesn't,
so
well, then that just becomes – but that just becomes a second guess game then, Jeff, because it's the question of whether or not to go for it or whether or not to try to kick the field goal. And if you're going to put it in the hands of a kicker, the kicker's there for one reason, hitting field goals, getting you into overtime, and that's what they do. I can't fault him, and I would have done it. I would have put it in the hands or the leg of the kicker. I would have done that. I would have played for overtime.
It, though, given, do they rip him if he misses the
No,
the
you
point?
you don't rip Vrabel for doing that. You rip the kicker. That's what you do. It's the same. Is anybody truly ripping John Harbaugh for Justin Tucker missing an extra point today?
But that's my point. They didn't go for it. They just was going to kick the extra point to go to overtime. But
exactly.
But Ken, I just had a terrible day with kickers. I mean, the Browns game, the guy misses a field goal in regulation, but then he makes a 59-yarder in overtime? And what's going on?
I don't know what it is.
I'm sick of kickers.
I don't know what it is.
I'm hurt.
Jeff, I mean, next week's another week. It'll be okay.
No, it's not, Ken. It's terrible.
Come on, Jeff. What, are you going to cry on the air?
No, I'm not going
to
cry on the air. I mean,
okay,
you gamble next week. Well, you know, you play another game next week.
Yeah, one of the little verts didn't pass away, Jeff. Yeah, you can't be crying on the air.
No, I'm not going to cry on the air. I love football, Ken. I mean, I'm going to watch every week. No matter, football is the greatest thing ever.
I was about to say, I'd never let you on again. Jeff, thank you for the call. I'd never let you on again if you were going to sit there and cry on the air. 855-212-4CBS. You can play the second guessing game all you want. I just don't think, and I wanted to make sure, there's just no way I can come back and say, well, you know, all you people out there are going after Mike Vrabel for making that decision. I was glad people are like that way. Let me get to Zach in Cleveland real quick. Zach, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
What's going on, Ken?
Hi, Zach.
I just wanted to start this out. I don't know if I'm a Hugh hater or a Hugh lover. I just want to put that out there before I ask this question to you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Sounds fun, right? When the offense can't do anything and the defense can't guard anybody, do we put that on Greg Williams? Do we put that on Todd Haley? Like, I'm just confused on how much So how much blame do we actually put on Hugh Jackson before we start blaming everyone else?
Well, he's the head coach. You got to, and he comes with. See, this is where they try to do something here. And the horrible part of what they tried to do is that they tried to get you to forget or talk you into forgetting the last 2 years with Hugh Jackson. No one's going to forget the last 2 years with Hugh Jackson. No one forgets 1-31. That's impossible.
Right.
All right? No one forgets that. So if you have 1-31 that stares you, then everything becomes his fault. And, Zach, you're from Cleveland, so you know everything's Hugh Jackson's fault. It was 30 degrees outside today, and that was Hugh Jackson's fault. Everything's his fault. And so when you're the head coach of the football team and you've won one game in 2 years before that, it's your fault.
Right.
And you have those offensive coordinators. Now he's saying and telling people, we'll play this coming up and sounding off, that he's going to get involved in the offense. That makes a Browns fan want to puke. So you've already had 2 years. Go ahead, Zach.
No, I was just going to say it makes us puke because he called plays the last 2 years and we saw how great that went.
Yes.
So you can put that blame, but now that Haley is supposed to be calling the plays because, you know, Hugh Jackson, I'm the head coach. I don't think people, I guess, are putting enough blame on Haley for calling these underneath routes and on third and long. It's the Brown special to me.
You know why? Exactly why. And, Zach, I wish I could give you more time. I got to run. I thank you for the call, my friend.
Yep.
I appreciate it. Let me tell you this. The reason they ain't doing it, because Hugh Jackson's the head coach and they want him out by any means necessary. When Todd Haley becomes the interim head coach and you start to see the foibles and what went wrong in Pittsburgh and what went wrong in Kansas City before that, then you go, oh my God, yeah, I don't want him as the head coach either. He's not long for here. All three of those guys are not long for, I'm out of Cleveland, so I say here. All three of those guys are not long for Cleveland. It'll be a new coach next year. It'll be a new staff. That's the way it's going to work. Your best hope, forget throwing stock into any coach, Forget throwing stock. If you're a Browns fan, forget throwing stock in a coach or any other rhyme or reason. You want something to back up today? You want something to back up for the rest of the year? Throw it in the stock of your rookie quarterback. If he looks good throughout the rest of this year, you have the pick of the litter of coaches. You think of the guys that you can dream of, those are the ones you can get, because every single coach wants a great quarterback. If they feel Baker Mayfield's great, you're going to have the pick of the litter. And the sooner you make that decision, the better. And if it's according to what we're hearing from the Browns beat reporter from 92.3 The Fan, Daryl Ryder, if that horse is already out of the barn, then what are you waiting for? If you're having the discussion, what are you waiting on? Because you could wait until Pittsburgh. Maybe they beat Pittsburgh next week. Probably not in Pittsburgh. But maybe they beat Pittsburgh the next week. You got Kansas City coming to town the week after. Good luck with that offense. At home, against Mahomes, against Andy Reid, that's a mercy killing. 855-212-4CBS. I got Bears fans on the hold. I got Cowboys fans there. We'll get to all you guys coming up also. It's time to do what's right by everyone and trade Eli Manning to Jacksonville. That and signing off.
This is the Ken Carmen Show. What did the coaches have to say after today's NFL action? It's time for sounding off.
All right, Hick, hit it, baby.
All right, after holding a 17-0 lead in the fourth quarter, Eagles coughed it up.
All right.
That's.
All right.
Is that what I sound like to you?
No, go ahead.
Okay. The Eagles coughed it up at home and lost to the Panthers by a score of 21-17.
All right.
All right. The defending champs dropped to 3-4 in the season, including two home losses already after recording just one at home all of last year. After the game, head coach Doug Peterson had an interesting way of trying to play off the loss for his team.
Quite frankly, and I told him, I says, you know, we have to learn from these. These are games that they galvanize football teams, and this is going to do that. This is going to bring us even closer together. Basically told him that, hey, pressure's off of us. Nobody on the outside world has given us a chance to do much of anything, and pressure's off, so we can go play, have fun, and just relax, and a lot of football ahead, too. You know, we still have a bunch of games, and still anything's possible, anything can happen, and you know, we still treat it as 1 week at a time.
You're only 3-4. You know what, Redskins fans, I know you've been calling me up. I'm pulling for you now. I want somebody to take a hold of this dead-ass division. Such trash going on. Philadelphia, you're coming off a Super Bowl and an improbable run. Take advantage of this. Dallas is 3-4. They snatched victory for the defeat from the jaws of victory, and the Giants are an out-and-out disaster. Redskins, I'm counting on you here. Let's go. Let's get it going. I know you took one on the chin. I want to take you seriously. You're 4-2. Put another one together. Where are you at? The Giants, 5-2? Oh, come on. This is perfect. Redskins fans, let's go. Redskins, let's go. Because the NFC East, if the Redskins make the playoffs, I'll be skeptical about it. I will totally, totally admit that. I just don't take them that seriously across the NFC. And it's up to you to make me eat those words. The Eagles at 3-4 to allow that type of comeback against Carolina, that's garbage. That's trash ball. That's hangover football. So you put on your dog mask and find a way, Philly, because that was abysmal, and you did that at home. Next.
All right. The Browns lost to the Buccaneers in overtime, but the most interesting part of the game came in the postgame, as Hugh Jackson openly questioned the job Todd Haley is doing as offensive coordinator. Cleveland has scored the least amount of first-quarter points in the NFL and struggled again in the first half on Sunday. The Browns have scored just 46 combined points the past three games, and after another frustrating performance, Jackson said it's time for him to take control.
I'm not going to continue to watch something that I know how to do, keep being that way. That's just the truth. I mean, that's nothing against anybody in our building. I just think that's what I do, and I think I need to be a little bit more involved. Trust me when I say I'm not trying to create any issue here. But I think if the offense is not playing well, then we haven't over a period of time. Being a head coach and an offensive guy who's done this, I think I have every right as a head coach to jump in here and see if I can help and assist and get this thing to where I think it needs to be, because we need to be better on offense. And if that's my specialty, then I need to be involved more, and I will be. I mean, I've been respectful. I mean, that's why you bring guys in and you make them the coordinator, you know. Again, there's some things we gotta fix fast to get this thing back to where it needs to be.
Seven games in. Seven games in, huh? And this is coming up. Now, I want to know. See, I should have asked Daryl this question. We had Daryl Ryder on in Cleveland earlier. Hickey, do you think this was... was this after Jimmy Haslam and John Dorsey had a conversation, or was this before when Hugh Jackson made these comments?
I'm going to say, the from watching Hard Knocks and seeing the way Hugh Jackson goes, I'm going to say after.
Okay, so this was after. So, boy, this might mean Hugh Jackson's as safe as ever, because you're going to go back to getting involved in play calling here? Now, you've been involved in play calling. Don't tell me that, because there was a 3rd and 2, and yes, I watch every Browns game. There was a 3rd and 2 that got switched to a 4th and 2, and they threw it instead of ran it, where if you know you're going for it on 4th down, you'll probably try to run it and get the 1st down if you're on a 3rd and 2. So you've already been involved in play calling before, and you probably did that earlier today when the Browns went for it on 4th down instead of taking a field goal, which ended up costing them 3 points, which they lost by 3 points. So that might have got involved as well. So can't say he wasn't already involved in the play calling, because he's definitely been involved in the play calling. Now, he is the head coach. He's allowed to make those calls because he's the head coach of the football team. But you're also going to take the brunt of the criticism there. And when you take the brunt of the criticism and then you come out and you say that type of strong stuff, then that's going to throw people into a tizzy. And obviously, by the calls we've gotten tonight, that's thrown a lot of the people into a tizzy tonight. So you're the one who has to answer to that. But it always seems to be hunky-dory. Again, if they're actually having these conversations, then what's the point of dragging them out? Because if you're already talking about it, that means it's already done. And you can get yourself a head start on the next coaching search if you were to make that decision now. But you might not trust what Todd Haley would do or Greg Williams would do as an interim head coach, and that would probably be understandable to that level. Next!
One of the most bizarre sights on Sunday was during the coin toss in Philadelphia, as Eric Reed and Malcolm Jenkins had to be separated from each other. The disagreement started when Jenkins, co-founder of the Players Coalition, stopped kneeling last season when the NFL announced it would make a donation to causes important to the coalition. When speaking to reporters after the game, Reed had some choice words for Jenkins.
Does it have anything to do with the disagreement about the Players Coalition?
He's a sellout.
Why do you say that?
Because he's a sellout.
Is that what you told him?
Yes.
What do you say specifically to you to get this down?
No, his actions speak louder than his words. It's systemic oppression, which is what I'm protesting, and neocolonialism. Man, it keeps happening.
Do you think that he's guilty of colluding with that? Neocolonialism?
I would say he's a neocolonialist, yes.
All right, I'm trying to understand where Eric Reed's coming from. Is he going to say any of this towards Nike or Colin Kaepernick? Now, I want to make this clear. He's accusing Malcolm Jenkins of benefiting and taking the NFL's money. Nike makes money partnering with the NFL, but they also back up Colin Kaepernick. And Eric Reed stands with Colin Kaepernick in his political stances. Now, I understand the stance you're taking. Fine, got it. But if you're going to call out Malcolm Jenkins for benefiting from it or taking money that benefits his cause, then I think you have to look at the other side of this. And I want to know if Eric Reed's going to say this when eventually Nike makes a business decision about this and either goes in a separate direction or warns Colin Kaepernick about making a stand, or even Eric Reed about making a stand that they might not all the way be down with. Because, again, Nike is a corporate entity. It's a conglomerate. And I know that they make a lot of money and they're not worried about bothering people to a certain degree, but there's always going to be something that even a major corporation like Nike that does take risks, that does back up sometimes unpopular figures or controversial figures, we should say, even there will be things that they are not necessarily down with. So are you going to put it on them? And again, if you're taking money and you're putting advertising there, but you're taking money to back up your cause, then isn't this exactly what Colin Kaepernick's doing? I just want to make sure everything's the same. Is it not the same? I just want to make sure. So maybe you don't like Michael Jenkins. Maybe it's just the fact that Michael Jenkins was talking to the NFL. Eric Reed has been essentially blackballed from the NFL for the last 18 months. Okay, that's understandable in its own right. Colin Kaepernick still needs a job and certainly should have a job over a host of terrible quarterbacks that are in the NFL. That much is abundantly clear. But if we're talking about your group or your cause benefiting from the money that's given from the NFL, coming together on a business decision, well, Colin Kaepernick has made a business decision and come together on a business agreement with Nike. and has allowed that to flourish with the intentions of making money. Nike is not in the business of losing money. So they put Colin Kaepernick in an ad intending to make money with him. Just pointing that out. Next.
Week 7 saw a few games go down to the wire. While only one went to overtime, another game that seemed destined for the extra time was between the Ravens and Saints. Joe Flacco threw a touchdown pass to John Brown to bring Baltimore to within an extra point of tying the game with just 24 seconds remaining, but Justin Tucker missed the extra point and the Ravens ended up losing by 1 point. The missed extra point was the first of Tucker's career, and after the game, the kicker talked about bouncing back from this.
Play long enough, you're going to have a kick that you want back, and tonight was that night for me. But like Joe said, the only thing that we can do is just go to work and try to make, you know, the best out of a bad situation. I appreciate the efforts of my teammates putting us in a position to extend the game. And unfortunately, I just wasn't able to put the ball through the uprights.
Look at that. Justin Tucker going out there, standing at the podium, saying what he needed to say, taking it on the chin. It was a missed kick. It happens to the best of them. And Justin Tucker is one of the best of them. Also, he's 7 years into this thing. And what did I tell you a million times over? You don't draft kickers because there's no point. And he's undrafted, and he's done nothing but help the Baltimore Ravens. You usually take kickers, and people are saying, Ken, that's silly. Look at Sebastian Janikowski. Okay, there's one. Do you want me to bring up Robert Aguayo? Where was he taken? Second round? Yeah, I don't know if that necessarily was the best decision by the Bucks. They could have probably used another position there. Just throwing that one out there for you. These guys are usually drafted 5th through 7th round. Well, if you take a guy 5th through 7th round, you're hoping that that player develops and makes your football team, makes your team. In a lot of cases, they don't even make the team. You're hoping that guy develops and makes your football team. You take a kicker 5th through 7th round, and then in week 1, you give him the keys to your future and say, go out and make a kick because my future depends on it. It's bass-ackwards. It doesn't make any sense. But Justin Tucker's had himself a very sterling career, and I believe 2 Pro Bowls, if I'm not mistaken. Has been a fantastic kicker. Hopefully he doesn't get the case of the yips. Hopefully he doesn't get the yips here again. And he'll be perfectly fine. I'm pulling for the kid. Is that it?
That is all time will allow for.
Fantastic as always, Hick. Fantastic as always. Coming up next, I promise, if you're on hold, we'll get to the calls. We'll go over week 7. And also, it's time to do what's right by everyone involved. One side's looking for a Super Bowl. Another side's looking to build. And as we get closer to the trade deadline, it's time to do what's right by everyone, by the Jags, by the Giants, by football fans everywhere. It's time to trade Eli Manning. More of that and you coming up next. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.